step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 722. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my guest co-host this day, Wraith. And also, we have future programmer Celia Hughes.
Hello, hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Don't go away.
Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, May 31st, 2023. On the show today, we have the City Theater Company and their show, The Importance of Being Earnest. Then later on, we'll be talking to Bottle Alley Theater and their show, Wraith Radio. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Bombay, Timbuktu, and Chicago. Don't go away. Good side of the city till I blah 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 on the Hello, Wraith, welcome.
Hello, thank you so much.
I am so thrilled to have you on the show co-hosting with me.
Yes.
I'm
well,
so excited.
You know, people are going to wonder, you know, I'm not sure a lot of people know who you are, but you're a military person.
I am. I am a communication officer.
Tell me, you know, so, and which is apropos to have on a show about theater.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, so obviously you're not, you know, you're our typical theater person. So you're not like a performer or anything. Sure. Do you enjoy going to theater?
No, not at all. Sorry about that. Well. But I love music. And I love Shakespeare, like literature.
Clearly, our producers didn't vet you well enough before we brought you on board. But you know what? I'm happy to have you. We have a pretty, we have a pretty fun show. Yeah. So we're okay with everybody. So I hear here's what my producer sent me that you like long drives on the beach.
It's true.
You like punk rock music.
Absolutely.
And singing along with their guitar.
Yes.
You know, there's
yes.
a guitar right behind you. No pressure, but I'm just saying there's one there.
I love that.
Okay. And the other thing, I hear that you want to be as a radio host.
Yes, I do. I absolutely want to be a radio host.
What makes you want to be a radio host so much?
Well, the thing is, I've been barricaded in this space for so long, and the only thing that's there is a radio. And I like my voice being heard. I like being listened to. And
so
I have a lot to say. I'm a storyteller at the
You've
end of
been
the day.
Barricaded somewhere.
I have been.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. Well, I hope to hear more about that as the day goes on. But we're
absolutely.
Not here really to talk to you.
No.
I mean, like you and everything, I'm glad you're here. You know, we don't get our share of military officers here all that often. But I'm going to say hello to Celia Hughes. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
We missed you last week.
I know. Well, I was off on vacation in my own mind.
Oh, good. I do that on a minutely basis. So to refresh folks' memory, you're here observing to get your programmer certificate. And you also have a show called the Art Spark Radio Hour.
I do. And we're going to a full hour next week.
Which is good because the name is the Radio Hour.
I know. Well, we were optimistic.
Remind folks what day and time you play.
Monday. From 2 to 3.
Amazing. And it is great. I have heard it. And also tell folks, we talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago. You also have a podcast.
True Tales by Disability Advocates. ArtSpark serves artists with disabilities, all kinds, mm-hmm. all genre, all types. And so, we have a podcast that is produced by our young people with disability.
Yep, I'm a listener. I think I've
thank
mentioned
you,
that.
Thank you.
And I believe we had a little roundup of theatrical podcasts, and we either had y'all on or I talked about you, one of the two. No, I had asked y'all to come on, but...
We did not come?
No, Hoji was not available.
Miss Boy.
Miss Boy, thank you. I just lost her name. All right, well, let's introduce everybody else who's here. We have Justin Heller. Hi, Justin. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. Patrick Smith.
Yes, indeed.
Good likely name. And Bill Newchurch. Welcome back.
Hi, Lisa Lou.
And sitting way in the back, far away from a microphone, is Trace Turner. Yeah, nobody heard that. So just so you know. So we've got a lot to talk about. Lots of stuff has happened. But you recognize, did y'all recognize that singer on the first number we had? Mm-mm. Okay, let me just tell you something. Shaking your head on the radio does not work.
No.
There you go. That's right. You didn't recognize that person?
Tina Turner.
Tina Turner.
I heard a Tina Turner.
You heard a Tina Turner, although you didn't. You heard an Adrian Warren from Tina, the Tina Turner musical.
Oh.
But she does a good Tina. I tricked you, all of you. You didn't fall for it. That's good. But she, of course, has passed away at 83. She lived in Switzerland and was a Swiss citizen.
I had no idea Whoa. She was there that long.
Yeah, 10 or so years, yeah. But anyway, they did not publicize a cause, but I'm saying when somebody dies, you know, 83 years plus, who cares what the cause is, right? Anybody? Nobody. Okay. Raith, what do you think of that? Are you a fan of, Tina
Turner? Absolutely. Oh, 100%. A legend.
So you listen to her in your bunker?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Anytime I can.
Excellent. Well, okay. So let's see what you know. I will tell you this, that she was born in Brownsville, Tennessee in 1939. What was her name? It was not Tina Turner. Some fan.
I know.
Okay.
Sorry. I was going to do a positive guess, but
I would love to hear that guess.
Evangeline.
Wow. Amazing.
Evangeline Port.
Bullock.
Bullock.
Port Bullock.
That's really good.
Evangeline Whoa. Port Bullock. Anna Mae Bullock was her name. That she's worth. So why are we talking about Tina on this program? Really, she's never performed on Broadway she hasn't performed on Broadway. I don't know how much stage work she's done, if any. But obviously we have this bio musical about her, Tina, the Tina Turner, and it was just here, the Tina Turner musical. I'll just finish the sentence. Did anybody see it when it was here, when it
I
came through?
No,
you did?
No.
You did not?
I did not.
Okay. Anybody? Nobody?
No, I didn't either.
Trace?
I had a friend who worked on it on Broadway.
All right. Well, if you're going to talk like that, you have to come to a microphone because people can't hear that.
Well, I had a friend who did the wigs on Broadway.
Oh, cool.
She did have her little Broadway debut when she was... Proud marrying, flipped the wig off, and she had to run and put it on her in
it's
the middle
all
of
about wigs. So was she a wig dresser, or did she design the wigs?
She was the wig supervisor.
Supervisor. Well, they need supervision.
They do,
especially
much.
In a show like Tina.
Yeah, they're flying around.
Yeah, well, amazing. That's good. See, I knew you were here for a reason. Let's see. So Tina Turner, the musical. Tina, the Tina Turner musical. I have to tell you, I'm a little ambivalent about shows that go, why don't they just call it Tina?
Tina's
why does it have to be
nice
Tina,
clean,
the
yeah.
Tina Turner? And then I have to get on this. This is a little pet peeve of mine, Raith. I don't know how you feel about it. But there's a podcast I listen to, and the person that runs that podcast insists on doing, if there's punctuation in the title, they say it. So he would have said, Tina, colon, the Tina Turner musical. Rocky, comma, Das Musical. Anyway, Tina earned 12 Tony nominations, and Adrian Warren, who we just heard, did win for Best Actor, I suppose. Anybody?
Excellent. Oh, okay. Excellent.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Y'all are a very talkative group. I'm just saying, this is good. We were talking about how difficult it is to get a word in edgewise with me, but not so difficult.
So 20 nominations for the Tonys. Are they
12?
12. And is it thought to be likely to win several of those? Probably.
Yes,
several.
4 years ago it did.
Yeah.
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 It was already 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
It's already happened.
I see.
But... we're going to talk about the Tonys in a second, but unfortunately, we have three people that we need to rest in peace. And the second one is Ed Hames. who you would know him. He had a, he was a very popular pop music singer with the Ames Brothers. He died of Alzheimer's. He was 95 again. I don't care what the reason. He's 95 years old. But he started doing theater back in the 50s or 1960s. He was in The Crucible. He made $50 a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was a lot of money back then.
You
can. And but if you're going to talk, you have to get to it. Remember how I told everybody before we went on the air, I said, if I have to castigate you, I do it on the air. In 1961, he replaced Jerry Orbach in Carnival, which I just, people don't do Carnival. I love it. He was also in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest playing Chief Bromden. He had a lot of roles where he played Native Americans, which today it would be frowned upon, but he did this a lot. And his ancestry is Eastern European. He's actually—I will show y'all. This is him.
Oh. Yeah, I think isn't he the one who was on the Johnny Carson show and threw an axe?
Oh my God! Yeah. What a great memory! Yeah. Yes,
I saw that. I'm that old.
Yeah, you are. Well, you are.
Yeah.
So explain to folks what you tell the rest of the story.
There was a silhouette on a board. And Ed was showing how he could throw axes, which has become very popular today.
Today, right? It's very popular. And he was on there because he was known in for playing, oh my God, not in Dragnet, but in, no, it's a TV series. He played a Native American.
Righto. So anyway, he threw the hatchet. He was supposed to aim for the heart, but it hit a little below that region where the legs came together. And needless to say, the audience was in stitches for quite a while, so it's become a classic
That's
clip.
True.
So he played the character Mingo in Daniel Boone for a long time. Anyway, yeah, that's a great story. And he went to try to retrieve the axe, and Johnny Carson wouldn't let him. So that was funny. And our final person that we have to say goodbye to is Robin Wagner, who's a very famous scenic designer. I was actually quite surprised that there was not an obituary in the New York Times for him. This obituary that you can see if you go to offstageonair.com and click on the links is from the Hollywood Reporter. And Robert Wagner, he's Tony Award winning. He was 89 years old. He worked on more than 50 Broadway shows. He won 3 Tonys. And I'll just read this, quoting this story. His Broadway play and musical design credits between 1961 and 2012 include the original productions of Hair, Jesus Christ Superstar, Angels in America, Victor Victoria, The Producers, The Boy from Oz, A Chorus Line, 42nd Street, and Dreamgirls. He also did
a great resume. Wonderful
That's
resume.
Like I mean, I've been reading his name since I've been in theater. Yeah. He won the Tony Awards for On the 20th Century in 78, City of Angels in 90, and The Producers in 2001. So that's it, Robin Wagner. I've heard his name. And again, I was surprised that did not show up in the New York Times obituaries. Shame on them.
I think what this shows is that being in the theater, you enjoy a long life. Because all of the people that you just spoke about were passing pretty late in life. So that's a good thing for
Keeps
everyone
you young.
Listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time to talk about the Tonys. We're going to run out of time because I just wallow on. Wraith, are you a fan of the Tonys? I'm guessing not.
No, I'm not.
Do you know what the Tonys are?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes.
How do you know? Because of Shakespeare.
Yes.
Okay. I was curious, you know, and I don't want you to feel out of place here, not being a theater person. You're surrounded by theater people.
Yeah, that's okay. No, I like it.
Okay,
in the military, you're surrounded by all types of different people.
Well, you know, you have the theater of war, so.
Exactly. That is its own theatrical performance,
there you go.
Really.
So, and you've probably, have you ever seen the musical Pippin? It's about Charlemagne,
I actually
for God's
have.
Sakes. Yeah.
I actually have. I've seen Pippin.
Well,
Pippin and Shakespeare
like
is really all I have.
Yeah, Pippin and Shakespeare. That was the name of my third book.
Yeah, no way.
Pippin and Shakespeare. the Tonys, as we know, have been fraught because of the WGA strike, which is the Writers Guild of America strike.
Yep.
The Tony organizations tried to get a waiver. DGA said no. And then as we talked about last week, the DGA finally did make a deal saying that they would not picket that they would not pick at the organization or the awards ceremony. But now, just the past couple of days, it might have been yesterday or the day before, they sent out a letter to their members asking WGA members who are nominees, Tony nominees, to not come up, not come in. And that is a lot of people. So they could pre-tape an acceptance speech, or they could send someone else in their stead. But I don't know, you know, gosh, if I was invited to the, if I was up for a Tony, I would want to go.
Absolutely. That would be tough not to go. But
yeah,
that's the point. You know, they have a point. The writers have a point.
They do have a point, although there, I mean, they absolutely have a point. There are two sides to a story. I was thinking about this today, just as, you know, I am a lefty liberal union supporter, but is it bad to understand that there are two sides to every story? When I think about this story in particular, these companies are rather large, but all of them are losing money.
Yes.
So nobody is winning here on both sides. So, you know, as a loyal union member, I side with the WGA, comma, but I can also see that both sides have their own points of view.
Well, I wonder what it's going to do to the show itself, too, because aren't there usually writers riding the Tonys, right?
Not like, this year. So the shows are going to be... Adriana Du Bois... Adriana Du Bois. Yeah, that's her name, is going to host it again this year, but she is not using any scripted material.
Oh, wow.
They had written scripts prior to the strike, which they will not be using. Nothing that can be, that needs to be written will be said during the telecast. But we talked about this last week, how important this is, and the reason why they're letting it go on is it is important to the livelihood of the theater community in New York. There are shows like Shucked, to be specific, which are not known outside of the little bubble that is theater. Have you heard of Shucked, Wraith?
I have not.
Yeah.
That's the one that's kind of country.
It started out as the Hee Haw musical.
Right, and they carry corn.
So, but it's getting great, great notices. But it has the Broadway. The survival has depended on the Tonys for years, and we're wondering if that's a good idea to make that happen. So just to read, this is a article from the New York Times written by Ashley Lee. Oh, sorry, Los Angeles Times written by Ashley Lee. It says, have the Tonys become too big to fail? She says, quote, and she's quoting somebody else here. It's just the fact that Broadway shows don't have the type of marketing budgets and general exposure that sporting events and movies do, said Anne Juliet producer Eva Price. And the number of people we can reach on any given night are finite because we're confined to four walls of our theater, not to every movie theater in the country, not to a 20,000 person stadium. So there's a lot that's very specific to the Tonys. And we talked last week that they count on these, it's called the Tony bump, is like in around June, these shows that opened up earlier need the bump from the Tonys in order to survive. Come on in, Trace. I see you nodding.
Well, I'll just say, like, even as someone who doesn't live in New York but tries to get up and see shows, if plays don't even get nominated, much less win, then usually it's like you can't even go and see it if you try to go in July or August, because after the Tonys, if they don't get those notices, then they can close. So yeah, it is this like conundrum with the Tonys.
And then we talk about in this article, they talk about a lot of people wait until the Tonys. They have their trip planned, and as soon as the Tonys go, they get on the phone and make their tickets because it's based on what they saw in the Tonys. And so there are other, you know, they're trying to find other avenues for marketing. For instance, we talked about this last week. Alex Newell was on the song, the Voice.
The Voice.
Then Lin-Manuel Miranda brought back Ham for Ham, which has been gone since the pandemic, to highlight these other shows out there, because that gets a huge tourist audience, and tourists are very, very important. So that's my Tony stuff. Did we cover everything? Did anybody want to say anything else about Tonys?
I don't.
No. I was counting on you, Wraith.
I feel like it sounds like there's a lot riding on this Tony's in particular.
Yeah, and you can appreciate that.
I really can.
There are things right. Everything you do, there's a lot riding on in your day-to-day life as a soldier.
Yeah, one thing I understand is pressure, for sure. Yeah,
pressure. Okay. Let's see what else we want to talk about really quick, like before we go. Here's another thing. I've talked about reviews. The show Grey House, which is opening, which has opened actually, it opened 2 days ago. They are not allowing critics to review it until tomorrow, Thursday, because one of their leads was sick. And so back in Bill and Mai's day, because we're old, I know.
I've got you beat.
Maybe not. Anyway, but they used to be that the critics came on opening night and they posted their reviews, in the middle of the night. Now they have a week to do that. And we are, I think, in my opinion, we're pandering to them in order for them to do that. But I get it. So they've postponed the reviews so that to give the reviewers time to watch it. And with the lead actors in place.
And is Grey House, is that horror play? I don't know.
It is,
know
with Laurie Metcalf and Sophia Ann Caruso.
Oh.
And the other person who is sick is Tatiana Maslany.
Gotcha.
It's interesting. So I will read you the what it says here. Grey House follows a couple whose car crashes in a mountain and subsequently seeks shelter in an isolated cabin somewhere with somewhat unusual inhabitants. I mean, right there, that's scary.
Sounds very Rocky Horror-ish.
Except without the comedy.
Without the fun parts.
Yeah. It's directed by Joe Mantello. It's written by Levi Holloway.
Cool. So it hasn't actually opened yet.
It's opened.
Okay.
But they're not letting people publish reviews until tomorrow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder if genre has anything to do with that, it being a horror play and everything.
I don't know, but you don't see a lot of horror plays on stage.
No, you don't.
Wait Until Dark is one I can think of that's been around for a long time.
Or Woman in Black or in Woman the West Black. End.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a Carrie that was done?
Yes, but that was not a horror. That was a camp.
Yeah, right.
There was nothing horror about it.
It started horrible. It ended up horrible.
Well, it is. We've talked about this on the show. We haven't in a while, but there's a whole book about flops, and it's called Not Since Carrie, about Broadway flops. And of course, the show I did isn't in there, and it should have been. The last thing I want to talk about is Here Lies Love, which we've talked about here on this program before. Here Lies Love is the what's his name in Fat Boy and Slim? Why did I just lose his name? David Byrne in Fat Boy Slim.
Oh, yes.
Musical that I went to see when it was at the Public. And it's an amazing piece. It's about Imelda Marcos. And it's just about to go into previews. And I don't know if you know anything about the music business and Broadway, but all the Broadway theaters that do musicals have a minimum amount of orchestra that needs to be part of a show.
Oh.
And this is at the Broadway Theater, and it requires 19 musicians. And this is Local 802. Here Lies Love has never worked with live performers. It's always been done to a track, and that's part of what it is. So 802 is going to bring them up and saying you have to hire musicians, whether they're just ghosting and they just get paid for not showing up. But in theory, they would have to pay 19 people at 802 rates, which are not cheap. So it's a very interesting story. What do y'all think of that?
Yeah, that's so interesting. I mean, first I'll say that I've been noticing that David Byrne is sort of dipping more and more into the theatrical space, which I find
very... You think so? And he had a Broadway show that ran for a couple of years?
Yeah, and he also was developing like an interactive piece in Denver, and then now this piece as well. And so it's interesting that his musician background is like... making a show without musicians.
Well, yeah, that was one of the subjects of that podcast I listened to. They were saying, because he brought in, and when you look at, if you saw, they did a, during the pandemic, you could watch his show, and I totally, American...
Utopia.
Did you see it? Anybody?
I saw the video of Spike Lee filming of it.
Yeah, me too. Amazing. And it was like all musicians on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. But the way the show does, and it's based on karaoke culture, so it really needs to be track and not. That's sort of interesting. But we are behind schedule, folks. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to listen to Ruthie Ann Miles singing Here's Lies Love from the musical Here's Lies Love. We'll be right back. Just say we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa Sheps, and co-hosting today, I have Wraith.
Hello.
Hola. Hola. Yeah, hola in relation to that last announcement. And then, of course, we have Celia Hughes here. Hi, Celia.
Hello.
How are we doing so far? Wraith, give us a grade. Where are we? Are we doing okay?
We're doing okay.
Okay.
We're doing okay. I'm
giving you a C.
Thank you.
No, it's not true.
I love a C.
No, I know, because you're carrying a sidearm. It scares me, and I'm going to try to be nicer to you than I have been. Let's introduce our first guest, shall we?
Yeah.
City Theater Company is doing a brand new show, never been seen anywhere in the world, called The Importance of Being Earnest. And we have three of the actors here from that. We have Bill Newchurch. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
We have Patrick Smith.
Hello.
And Justin Heller.
Hi.
Okay, this is written by Oscar Wilde.
It is.
Great. Thank you for being on the show. So tell us about The Importance of Being Earnest. What is it, if people have not seen it?
Yeah. Well, it's a show that was, you know, debatable whether it's satire, whether it's parody, right? But it's essentially a send-up of the Victorian era, written by an outsider about the society in which he was living. And it's, you know, a show about finding out who you are and figuring out where you belong and how to fit in and how to tell the truth to yourself within that. And also it's super funny, hilarious.
Super funny, SF we like to call that.
SF, exactly.
Okay, and what role do you play?
I play Jack / Ernest.
As in the importance of being?
As in the importance of one of the meanings of the phonetical phrase Ernest, yeah.
There you go. It is a double entendre or a triple entendre.
There's a lot of those.
It's a lot of entendres.
It's dense with that. It's fast and funny.
Excellent, it's funny. Patrick, who do you play?
I play Lane, the manservant for Algernon, and it's been a lot of fun to play because you do have these servants from the outside looking at the upper class who are a bit hypocritical and trivial, but you have to keep all those reactions inside in your job as a manservant or as a butler, as Bill plays, Merriman.
So you and Bill are playing the downstairs folks.
We are, exactly.
Okay.
We are.
In the upstairs, downstairs.
There's a lot of social commentary, too, because the servants are people who are having to work for a living and control themselves, and the aristocracy are kind of goofballs and lack intelligence and lack common sense. So
okay, and you said you play a manservant? Is that what
the... I play the butler.
The butler, manservant. Yeah. Is there really a difference?
Yeah. That's an interesting question. I don't. Jack is my boss.
Are you nice to him?
I'm nice. I need to be a little bit more attentive, you know, to him on a personal level. But I like him. He likes me, okay. Right? He likes me.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
So as you said, this is comedy that's been around for a while, and Oscar Wilde is. I mean, if he works at it, he may go somewhere in his career. I actually believe he might do quite well.
He's all right.
But it's fun. What's been fun about playing these roles or not fun?
For me, I really like to learn about the time in which a story happens. It's always a nice little historical crash course where you have to kind of just assimilate and live in it. So that part of it for me, it's also just, you know, phonetically it's pretty dense and the sentences are long, there's a lot of words, but when said at the right speed, it kind of heightens the farce of it all.
Okay.
So that's been just a challenge, you know, as far as the breathing and Jack, you know, my character's got a lot of lines in general. So
breathing, I find relatively important.
Oh yeah,
for a successful life. So you mentioned the time frame. When what era does this take place?
1895.
In the United States of America?
No, this would be in London.
London, England.
Yes.
Are y'all putting on some English accents?
We are.
Lovely.
We are indeed.
Lovely.
Can
lovely.
I hear one?
Uh oh.
Yes, quite. What would you like to hear?
Oh.
No, that doesn't sound like an English accent. To me, an English accent is, "Oi, matey, come over here."
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
That's right.
Well, you're hired.
Differently.
Yeah, so that is great. And I know you told me, but I wasn't listening. What era are we in?
Victorian, late Victorian.
Victorian.
Right.
She's
1895.
Still alive. 1895.
Okay, yeah, I remember that. I was around.
Yeah.
You look good.
Thank you. I'm very, very well preserved, as they say. Thank you. And I have a body and a face for radio. So great. So this is City Theater production and directed by Karen Sneed.
Yes.
It is.
We love Karen.
We love
Wonderful
Karen.
Wonderful director.
Yep. How has she been to work with? Good.
She has
you,
been
She won't listen to this. You can tell the truth.
No, she's been great. And she had us over for a dinner that was fantastic. We had a chance to
really?
To get to know the cast, other members of the cast, in their other alter egos.
Yep. What did she serve?
Boy, she had...
I need to know.
Very
well,
important.
Asparagus beers.
Yeah. It was like a pork roast, pot roast.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Roast. Mm-hmm.
So not many Jewish people came.
No, I okay. don't think so.
There was one or two, maybe.
That's amazing. I'm, I direct shows, and I don't do that.
It's a lot. She's
it's a lot of work.
She's been working hard, yeah.
No, good. Good for her. That's amazing. And this is City Theater, and y'all are playing over... Where's
Genesis Presbyterian mm-hmm. Church, which has created Genesis Creative Collective.
Right.
So there's a series of arts programs, including City Theater, that are now in part of their space.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's located on Wilshire, which is across from the Mueller development.
Right. So it's basically right across the street from where City Theater used to be. It's very close to where City Theater used to be.
And the Coop as well.
Co-op.
Co-op. Oh, my gosh.
You were fired for calling us Coop.
I'm thinking of some kind of surgeon
okay.
general. Yeah.
It's okay. Very good. I was thinking of chickens. But that's good. So when do y'all open the show?
We open Saturday. This Saturday.
This Saturday.
And June we run 3rd. For three long weekends. So Saturday, Sunday, and then the following week's Thursday
yes,
through
Thursday.
Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. Are you excited? How have rehearsals been going?
Really excellent. I mean... I think this is one of those experiences where the cast has gotten to be very bonded with one another, mm-hmm. and we really created a community. I think we're going to stay close friends for a long time now. So that's
wonderful.
That's been wonderful.
How large is the cast?
Eight.
It's a nice size cast for a straight
mm-hmm,
play.
It is.
Yeah. Oh God, I had a great question. It just totally went away. Well, I do. So I am. I will admittedly say that I seen The Importance of Being Earnest a long time ago, or certainly read it, but I don't remember a darn thing about it. How is it apropos to our life in 2023?
I think there's a lot of things about the division of kind of generations, right? The generational gap that's sort of outlives everybody. That's was prevalent then, prevalent now. The division of classes too, while not so pronounced, right? There's definitely something there for a modern audience. And then there's a lot of just, you know, romance. It's kind of a romantic comedy in that way that there's things in this show, I think, that have carried through even to today as far as, you know, tropes and kind of just that rom-com vibe. A lot of that is in this text, even though it's, you know, what they're saying and how they're stringing their words together is completely different. But
yeah. But yeah. But the themes are apropos to our current life. That's the joy of Oscar Wilde, who had his own issues in his day.
He did.
Yeah. So where can folks go get more information about this? I can tell you if you don't know.
The City Theater website.
Which is citytheateraustin.org.
Thank you. Well done.
You're quite welcome.
Excellent.
You're hired.
Thank you. So that's amazing. I wish y'all all the best in your 3-week run.
Thank you.
And,
thank you so much.
I look forward to having y'all on again.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Yeah, indeed.
Wonderful.
Congratulations.
That was Justin Heller, Patrick Smith, and Bill Newchurch of City Theater's production of The Importance of Being Earnest, playing June 3rd through 18th at... What's the name of the place?
City Theater.
No, but what's the name of the place?
Genesis Creative Collective on Wilshire?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. You can get all sorts of information about that at citytheateraustin.org. And this song I'm going to play right now is from a show that I looked up and I can't remember anything about it now, but it's called Betchamania. Betchamania, and it looks a lot like Beatlemania, but it's not. And we're going to talk about Beatlemania later on in the show. But this is a song called The Arrest of Oscar Wilde at the Cadogan Hotel. We'll be right back.
A thump and a murmur of voices.
Oh, why must they make such a din?
As the door of the bedroom swung open. And two plain clothes.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with me, Lisa, and
Wraith from Wraith Radio.
Yeah, I don't want to tell folks your old name, so I'm not going to.
Thank you.
And Celia.
And who else?
And hi, I'm Trace Turner.
Trace Turner. You know, Wraith, I was reading a little bit about you, and you said that you wanted to be a radio host, but you don't expect to live long enough to do that.
So true.
That's kind of dark.
Or is it amazing? Because most of the legends die at 27.
It's okay. Are you doing... Well, I don't want to ask, but most of those legends that die at 27 is because they were living their life pretty fast and hard.
Well... I'm a soldier.
You're a soldier.
They also have those white lighters.
That's true. Lighter, right? They do have the white lighters. I do not have a white lighter.
Oh, it's this theory that like Jimi Hendrix and like Janis Joplin and Kurt Cobain all had white lighters. They all died at 27. Mm-hmm. So there's like a
part of the 27 club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Built a white lighter,
like a big lighter. Lighter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. I don't
good
know.
To know.
I don't know what to say about that, but
I'm a little past 27.
So I think you're safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go. It's fine. The rules don't apply to you anymore.
Wraith, I need you to read that.
Okay. Co-op Radio, nonprofit organization, Beat for Beat, provides music education for Austin area school districts and private schools via their after-school music classes. Thursday, June 1st at the Belmont Beat for Beat presents Grammy-winning Latin Funk Orchestra Grupo Fantasma, along with the Colombian melody maker Jaime Ospina opening the show. For more information, go to www.beatforbeat.org.
You are hired. Nice. Look at that.
Like a professional.
Like a professional. You would never know that they're just a soldier.
That's right.
In a bunker.
All right, going on around town. We talked about it last week. It's too late to sign up for it, but it's the citywide auditions. Mm-hmm. But it's probably not too late if you are a theater runner, or producer, director, to sign up to come and watch said auditions. You can get information at ATX Theater, which is a good spot to do that, and get all your information about the local theater scene, which is pretty darn special.
Mm-hmm. Bada Ali will be there.
So will Ground Floor Theater.
Amazing.
Amazing. All right. One of my favorite theater companies here in town, they are doing their final performance in the world. They are closing their doors, and that's Tilt Performance Group. They're doing a show called Pan, which is about Peter Pan, I think, because the pictures have swashbuckling people.
It's told from the point of view of Wendy.
Aww.
And Pan is the universal,
right?
So it's so Pan. So it's basically a universal.
It's okay. Well, that plays from June 2nd to the 11th, and you can get information there at tiltperformance.org. Tilt is a company that's very, very near and dear to my heart. Started by Gail Dalrymple and Adam Roberts. There's a third person. I just lost his name.
Robert Pearson.
Robert Pearson. Thank you. Thank God you're here. So also playing here and around town is The Baker's Wife at Alchemy Theater. It closes on the 11th. Getting amazing reviews is Zell Miller III, Chronicles of an Indigenous Offspring. It's playing at Hyde Park through the 3rd. He's just gotten amazing reviews, and I'm so happy for Zell. He deserves it. Closing this weekend at Ground Floor Theater, Sanctuary City, another amazing show. They were guests on our show last week. I have a personal affinity for them for some reason. But it is a wonderful show. It's directed by Andrea Nunez, who is a guest here as part of our Directors Rising program. So she had never directed before. And I will say that when we were talking before the show out in the lobby, some people just saw without being prompted, said how wonderful the direction of that piece was. And I have to agree. So it's playing through Saturday night. Next at Ground Floor Theater is Piedmont Productions, Julieta Tiene la Culpa. It plays from the 8th of June through the 17th at Ground Floor Theater. Austin Playhouse is doing Big Fish. I'm very excited about this. It opens June 2nd and plays through July 2nd. They like to keep things on the twos. Two and two, just like, what's his name? Tommy Toon? No. Oh, no. But I did audition for him once. That's another story.
Oh, my gosh.
We talked about this last week. A brand new company in town that I had never heard of called the Santurni Theater is doing a production of Albee's The Zoo Story out at South Park Meadows. You can get information about all these on nowplayingaustin.com or atxtheater.org. So Now Playing Austin has things that are not necessarily in the center of the city. So some things that you might want to see, things that are in Wimberley or in, what's that city? Lockhart.
New Braunfels.
New Braunfels. All these theaters that are in the smaller towns. You can find those on nowplayingaustin.com. Okay. Did I miss anything? Y'all want to talk about anything local? Arts Park doing anything that you want to talk about?
We have a Think Like a Designer graphic.
Do that every day.
graphic classes coming up, graphic arts classes, uh-huh. Not graphic classes, coming up for Fridays in June.
Where folks get information?
ArtsparkTX.org.
ArtsparkTX.org. That's good. It's amazing. Yeah. Are you looking for people to perform or people to come and paint?
People to participate. There's going to be...
Can I paint with my feet?
May paint with your feet.
Good.
We're
That's
also
going to
be
do.
Doing natural dye using non-toxic substance.
Oh.
So dyeing dyeing and creating, printing t-shirts and doing all sorts of fun things.
So that leads me to believe that our typical dyes are more toxic than
right.
they
yes.
are.
Yes.
Wraith is nodding. Wraith, do you have any experience dyeing things?
I didn't realize that. I didn't realize it was all toxic.
That as a soldier, I'm thinking there's probably dyeing all around you.
Oh, lots of that kind of dyeing. Absolutely.
But that's amazing, Celia. That is cool. That is good. What about you, Trace? Anything locally other than... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Bottle Alley Theater, we have our next show coming up. We're opening on June 16th. It's called Wraith Radio. I don't know if you've heard
about
it
yet. Well, we're going to be talking about that. You're going to be a guest on my show.
Oh, right. That's why I'm here.
That's why you're here. Yes, but we can't... No harm in talking about it again. So it opens when?
June 16th. And then we're playing three weekends, close on July 2nd.
Wraith Radio.
Wraith Radio.
That's me.
Wraith.
Yep.
That's you know,
one,
part of this.
The very same.
Amazing. Okay. Well, good. I can't wait to hear about it in just about 5 minutes. Let's do Today in Theater History, shall we? We're always trying to figure that out. In 2018, the remake, that's not the word. What is it when they redo something? The revival, thank you, of The Boys in the Band. It's 2018, opened on this day. I said we were going to talk about Beatlemania, and Beatlemania indeed opened on this date in 1977.
Wow.
Which was a mere 1 month and 2 weeks before I moved to New York City.
Was it because of Beatlemania?
It was. I said, Beatlemania's coming. I better get in my car.
It's time now.
Yes, I should go. never saw Beatlemania. That's the end of the story. And I forgot the name of it. There was a show about the Beatles that came through here recently that it was very weird. As if they did not have the rights. They did all the Beatles songs, but they didn't mention any of the Beatles' names.
Hmm. Was it called Rain?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember seeing billboards for that.
Very
I was
odd.
Like,
I saw it twice.
That?
And it's and they, instead of saying Ringo on the drums, they're saying this gentleman on the drums. And then they'd play Yellow Submarine. It was very odd. Okay. In 1987, I'm assuming this is a revival of The Comedy of Errors.
Most likely.
Yeah. And it played the Lincoln Center. It's out of focus. I can't say. Oh, at the Beaumont. But it's got a very interesting cover. It's a Comedy of Errors. It shows a person with a swordfish on it.
Huh.
I don't know what that means. that 1987. In 1979, this is also a revival of I Remember Mama. And that was at the Majestic Theater.
So it was a day of revivals.
Day of revivals.
It seems.
Well, you know, this is the time of year where, I mean, it's not, this is after Tony nominations, before Tonys. So it's a real weird time on Broadway.
Spring, rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in theme.
Birthdays. Donna Michi, born in 1908. Who here has worked with Don Ameche? Oh, just me? Yep. Nobody else? Okay.
Raising your hand doesn't work on the radio, Lisa.
Yeah, that's really what I hear.
I had the honor of working with him. Or he wasn't very nice to me. I was a production assistant on a production of Sugar that he was in. Mm. And he was old and insecure. He couldn't remember his lines. And he took it all out on me. So, but I kind of respect.
Shame on you.
Yeah, Don. Yeah. But he was, other than that, perfectly lovely. Matt Kavanaugh's birthday. This is someone I tried to look up and didn't find out a lot of information, but I love her name. She was born in 1897. Mm. You remember that, Trace?
Yes, yeah, I was there.
You were there. Margalo Gilmore. Does that ring a bell for anybody?
Was she one of the Gilmore girls?
I'm sure she was.
Sorry, Margalo?
Margalo. I just love that name.
Good name.
Margalo.
No one's named Margalo.
See, in my Margalo culture, if it was somebody named Marga, we'd say Margala.
Oh.
Margalo.
But you wouldn't say Margalo. You'd say Margala. Okay. Other birthdays. Merle Dandridge. Brooke Shields. And Philippa Sue.
Oh, love her.
Who does not love Philippa Sue?
She's great.
She is great. And to that end, we are going to go out listening to Philippa Sue singing from Amelie. And this show, this song is called Times Are Hard for Dreamers. Philippa Sue. I wish Amelie did better than it did.
Me too. I love the original movie. I didn't get to see the show, but...
Love the original movie. I never saw the show, but I did see as part of a judging for the High School Musical Theater Awards. There was a high school that did a production of it. I didn't go to see it, but we see video highlights. And it just looks like a precious... Yeah. Show, and I'm beginning to like the music, so maybe something to look at. Anyway, let's listen to Philippa singing Times Are Hard for Dreamers, and they are.
They
By
are.
The way, Sanctuary City is kind of like the Dream Act, Dreamers. Mm. All right, we have a couple of Dreamers. Here it is.
They say times are hard for dreamers, but they won't
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa Sheps and...
CW Hughes.
And...
Trace Turner.
Yeah, Wraith just bolted out of here.
Yeah, they had to go.
That was pretty amazing.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
I hope I did not say anything to offend them, but that was crazy. So we're going to just introduce our next guests, coincidentally, it's Bottle Alley Theater. Trace had mentioned this earlier. There's a show called Wraith Radio that opens on the 16th of this month. And we have the director here, Trace Turner. Hi, Trace.
Hi, Lisa. How's it going?
It's going good. And we have one of the actors, Cass DeFreitas.
Hi,
Cass. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Any better and I would be twins. Yeah. So, Cass, since you haven't been with here, you know, all the rest of us have been here this whole time. What do you think? Do you like theater?
I love theater.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
I do. I love it.
Oh, my God. Wraith was not a theater. Well, they liked Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Pippin.
And Pippin.
Shakespeare and Pippin.
That's what I heard.
It's crazy. You know what? I'm not going to speak ill. Wraith was a wonderful co-host. But you're here to talk about a show called Wraith Radio.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, and I'm guessing there's a connection, and this may be why they ran out.
Yeah, so Wraith probably had to run back to check on one of their division counterparts in that bunker that they mentioned they were strapped down in. Wraith Radio is a play about two soldiers who've been abandoned on the battlefield, calling out for help on the radio waves for so long that they've started hosting a radio show to no one.
Oh my gosh.
That's right.
A nightmare, Lisa.
Has this been done before?
So speaking of revivals, mm-hmm. this was actually a show done back in 2016.
That was the word I was
Bottle
trying
Alley.
To come up with.
Yes, exactly. So Chris Fontanes, who's Bottle Alley's founder, wrote this show back in 2016, performed it, I think, in an old warehouse, an office in a warehouse. And so this is sort of a revival of that show. I've done a little bit of adaptation of it. We've added some more music and some movement stuff with the actors. It's kind of a brand new show with sort of a old familiar feel to it.
Great. And Cass, what do you play? What character do you play?
So I play Wraith, actually.
Wow.
I play Wraith. We could not be more different.
Well, you're both pleasant in your own
way. Oh,
ways.
Thank you.
Well, great. Tell us about the character.
Yeah. Okay. So Wraith.
I mean,
is...
we feel like we spent some time with them.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you tell us your take on it?
As, yeah.
I'm sure you've done some research.
Wraith is a soldier. They are a non-binary communications officer in the 9th Infantry Division. And they've gone through a lot of trauma. They've had a lot of things happen to them, obviously, with the war and then also with dealing with PTSD and stuff like that. And they are they're living in this world that's kind of like, it borders on what is real and what is not real. What is just going on in my mind? What is happening? You know, am I dying? Am I alive? And so there's like and we're dealing with that with humor and with music and...
Amazing. Is this a solo performance or are there other actors?
So there's a cast of four. Okay. So there is Cass who's playing Wraith, and we have Rosemary McGraw playing their division counterpart, codenamed Star. Wraith is also plagued over the course of the play by their dead boyfriend, Jesse, who's played by Devin Finn. And at the end of the play, not to give anything away, but Death shows up as a character played by the incredible Todd Clark.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, you know, Devin Finn is a Ground Floor Theater veteran.
Oh, yes.
Did a show for us there.
He's wonderful.
He's amazing.
And he had his company, which I don't think exists anymore, Theater Synesthesia.
Right.
So he's been around a lot. Sounds like a lot of fun. So I guess the question, would you build this as a comedy?
Yeah, maybe like a dark comedy, probably.
Dark comedy,
we have like some high moments of joy, but then just total despair. Yeah, so we're sort of all over the map, emotionally speaking.
And so Chris wrote this,
yes.
Chris Fontanes. And what has he been, you said you made some adjustments. Was he part of the redo?
So actually, he really wasn't. And this is something I really appreciate about Chris as an artist. He has no sentimentality when it comes to his work. Nothing is precious. When we first met, he said, "You can delete the whole script and rewrite it, and I won't care." And that's just such an incredible gift to be able to give to a collaborator. And so I'm so glad that he gave me a little bit of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
This is all to say, I have not changed much of Chris's words.
Is he going to show up on opening night and go, "Oh my God, what happened to my play?"
I don't think so. He was at the reading. We've added some stuff since then, but I feel like we've really just like highlighted the good stuff that was already there and then just added some other things to connect some loose strings here and there.
Who wants to come to this show? What are we going to bring our kiddos to the show? Are we going to...
So we're recommending sort of a PG-13 rating just for some of the darker materials. And there's some discussion of domestic abuse and, like Cass said, PTSD as well. So it's going to be on the darker side, but it should be good for everyone above the age of 13 to enjoy.
Great. Where are you in the process? You're opening soon, right?
Yeah, in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So
you still have a little bit to go. You're in that relaxed port where you're just working on the stuff before you go into tech.
So fun.
Yeah, we had a run through last night.
We did.
Went pretty well.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and so now we just get to like fine tune, and this is the fun part.
It is. It really is.
Now, you're playing at the Pink Flamingo Plant Company.
Yes,
That's right.
Up on McNeil Drive.
Okay, we call that South Dallas.
South Dallas. It feels like it, fighting that traffic up there. But yeah, it's a wonderful plant company. They have been very welcoming to us. They are very queer friendly, and they have two food trucks on their property as well.
Really?
Yeah, it's a great place to just spend a morning if you really want to.
I mean, is it indeed a plant?
Yeah, they have like three greenhouses, as well as like a local vendor's gift shop of sorts, and we're performing in one of their greenhouses.
So you sort of like created a bunker?
Yeah.
So the audience will join you in the bunker?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. They'll be locked in with us, in.
Very found space. Very cool.
Yeah. Well, that is great. I'm so happy to have had y'all on the show.
Yeah,
where can folks go to get more information about this?
You can find more information on Bottle Alley's website as well as our Instagram page at Bottle Alley Theater.
Okay. It's bottlealleytheater.com is the website.
Yes.
I also found it on Facebook because I'm a baby boomer.
if you also search through Eventbrite, you should find a ticket link as
well. But if you did it Instagram or Facebook and said, Bottle Alley, you'll get it. Well, thank y'all for being on the show.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
That was Trace Turner and Cass DeFreitas of Bottle Alley Theater's production of Wraith Radio, playing the 16th of this month through July 2nd. And for more information, bottlealleytheater.com or search Facebook and Instagram. I didn't quite know what to do, but I thought, just in the spirit of everything and radio, this is Midnight Radio from Hedwig and the Angry Inch. We'll be right back. Nice. Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air. We're going to just wrap this up. So we've had a lot of fun on the show today, and Cass is here, who was the co-host as in character as Wraith. So did you have a good time, Cass?
I had a blast.
Yeah. Poor thing. Every time we asked her a theater question, she was going, I can't answer truthfully.
I was like, oh, man, I love the importance of being earnest. I have so many questions. But Wraith did not.
Yeah. Good. You didn't break character. Well, that's amazing. Thank you so much. This is really fun. We've never done this before on the show, and I had a great time.
Yeah, I did too. Thank you.
Awesome. And Celia.
Well, it was great to be back, Lisa.
It's great to be back.
Yeah, watching the pro at work.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far. I should say that this is the last show of the season. This is our 14th season. We will begin our 15th season next week. And this week we have the final show of Austin Community Hour with John Hoffner, and it's going to switch to a collective which includes John Hoffner called
The Austin Cooperative Hour,
which also includes Robert Sims of Lights, Camera, Austin, and my former apprentice. So that's it for us. We're going to see you next week on the beginning of the 15th season for Ground Floor Theater. And we are going to, just thinking of seasons, always goes to this, Seasons of Love. We'll see you next week.
In daylights, in sunsets, in midnights, and comes.